Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 463. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
Craig is a stalker.
Craig is a stalker.
He's got like listening devices on us right now.
It's not a lie either. Literally creeping us out. Jeff is here as well.
I'm just waiting for video games.
They're coming, Jeff. Next week.
I don't believe it.
Madden just came out. You could play Madden.
Not a video game.
You could play...
Wait. What is Madden if it's not a video game?
I don't know. It's promotion for football.
How about Age of Wonders Planetfall? That just came out. You could play that.
No. I heard that's pretty good.
You know what's funny is I went to go. I was like, oh, fuck yeah. I'm going to finally try out like Age of Empires. I remember my friend playing that all the time in college, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, I'm going to go fucking play that. And I didn't realize it was PC only. God damn it! Got all upset. Thought it was going to be on the Xbox.
I think they are doing a console version. It's just not.
Are they?
Thought I heard that.
Interesting.
All these other strategy games are coming to console, so
like why not?
Star Wars is out,
and they come out for Game Pass like 3 months after I buy them.
Yeah,
this is why I have not bought Age of Wonders Planetfall. I swear,
there.
You're gonna hear in like November or December, "Hey, it's on Game Pass now," and I'm gonna be like, "I spent another $40 on the game. I can't. This time, I can't. I'm not doing it."
Yeah, just wait on that one. I was actually, I read a review for a RTS called They Are Millions or Billions, or I don't know. It's like a zombie RTS, like where they're the enemies. So you're trying to fortify your city and protect from like these DayZ type hordes of zombies attacking you. And then like I saw it was on Xbox and I was like, I'm just going to wait. I'm going to wait for it to game pass. Like $25 isn't, that's not a lot, but I will just wait. Similarly, Blair Witch comes out next Friday. And I was contemplating buying that, but was very happy by the news this week that it was going to debut on Game Pass. So.
Yeah, I'm like the biggest Blair Witch fan in the world. I mean, at least the original film. And I was just like, I don't think this is going to be any good, but since it's free,
damn,
shit,
like, wow,
I mean, I'll be checking it out for sure, yeah.
I don't know. It looks like an Outlast type game, so
yeah,
I like Outlast.
Yeah.
We'll see.
It'd be cool if they actually like make it, you know, kind of scary and like play off the Blair Witch and stuff in good ways, but we'll see, I guess.
Yeah, maybe I'll shut the lights down and play that in the dark.
Yeah. And then you'll just be like, Josh, where are you?
Go stand in the corner. Yeah, so snacks?
Snacks. I don't have any snacks this time, just a beer.
No, I don't have snacks either.
I have an Imperial Stout that came out of a can that had a giant smiley face on it.
That's something different.
It's happy beer.
I got the Miller Lite in the classic can.
Oh my god.
Drinking the smell tonight.
Why?
Light, refreshing summer drink.
It's not light and refreshing. It's might as well drink water.
Water doesn't get you drunk.
Neither does Miller Lite. There's no alcohol
in it. I mean, it's pretty watery, and you drink enough of them.
You drink about 10 of those. Yep, you got definitely a good buzz going.
Yeah.
But you have to drink 10 of them. Who wants to drink 10 beers?
And then piss every 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey,
especially at your age, Jeff. You know, you get up there.
Yeah.
You spend all night going to the bathroom.
I'll be lucky if I can even drink 10 of them these days.
Oh, no, I can't. I used to be able to, but
I mean, shit.
I find I get full now. I'm like, yeah. I can't drink anymore.
That's one thing I will give like Miller Lite though over like a good like craft beer. Like I drink a good beer, like a good IPA. I'm like, I feel so fucking bloated. Miller Lite, it's water. So it's just like, all right,
Just got to go pee.
Then again, it's room. Also, you know, just water.
I mean, it's got alcohol in it. A little bit.
If that's what you want to call it. Sure.
And a little bit of yellow coloring.
Good enough.
So you also had another beer, though, in a can, Jeff. You're not drinking that tonight?
Oh, yeah. I found, whatchamacallit? Gumball Head. I guess they make in cans now. Which
and how come you're not drinking that? Because
I drink them all.
Oh, they're all gone already.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
I mean, they were gone 2-3 nights ago at least, so.
And I'm sure the Miller Lite was cheaper, so.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, since we don't have any snack talk.
Do you guys get Three Floyds beer out by you?
No.
No.
Ship out this far?
No.
Well, they're pretty good beer. But that's like probably like one of their most popular ones. And yeah, I'd never seen any of their beers in the can before, so that's kind of interesting. You know, cans are preferred over bottles.
They are. They keep the yes. light out.
Yeah. And actually, like, I've always kind of, like, preferred drinking out of a can.
But and now they got rid of the aluminum taste.
So. Yeah, but it was kind of, like, surprising for me to find out. Like, I, like, looked it up one day, and it was like, no, can is better than bottle. I was like, I always thought I was, like, going the low rent route that people made fun of drinking out of a can. But, no, it preserves the beer better than a bottle.
Yep.
So I was right all along.
Well, let's not be too hasty.
I mean, there was a time where drinking out of a can, there was like that weird aluminum tinge to it.
Yep.
So you were going the low rent model for a little bit. It's just they figured out a way to not have that.
They seal the cans now so that you don't get the whole tinniness.
Yeah. That's good because nobody wants that.
If you do, there's something wrong with you.
I miss the old cans, the ones that made my beer taste like metal.
All right, more tin.
That's what everybody needs. Well, we sometimes play games. Jeff did not play anything new this week, so
nope, bunch of old shit. But I'm having fun with it.
Aside from Sims, what else did you play, though?
I finally got to play Doom 2 on the Switch.
Wait, aside from Sims, shouldn't we start with Sims? I like Jeff's Sim stories.
Oh, he probably has a couple good ones, because he's been posting some pictures that were pretty yeah. entertaining.
Yeah, like, so I've mostly focused on my career. Are we all still here? I thought I heard a weird sound there.
Yeah, Earl just joined.
So, yeah, I mostly have been focusing on my career, but I finally was like, you know what, before I get old, I should try to, like, you know, have some sex and you know, get married, you know. So, like, after my sim dies, I might have a family and this and that. So I, like somehow, like, hooked up with, like, this older lady, and she died, like, right after I married her.
Oops.
So there was that. And
she didn't say so
you're a widow maker or a gold digger.
I mean, yeah, basically. But I she just died of old age. You know, I did nothing.
Yeah, after you married her.
You married a like a grandma?
Yes, I guess. I mean, she looked pretty hot. I don't know. Anyway, so that happened, and now I, like, you know, went after my next closest friend, you know, where the green bar was high on. Well, I'm going to start hitting on them. And it was like this guy. So now I'm married to him. But yeah, I posted a picture. Like, one night while I was sleeping, he got up and he was like hanging out. And the ghost of my, you know, dead wife shows up. And then they sit down on the couch together and they're talking. And, like, the ghost turns, like, red, and then hearts start coming up from both their heads and shit. I was like, what the fuck is this? I finally like, banished the ghost. Like, I went to her urn. And
no way. You're ruining my marriage.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The Sims is, you know, I think we talked about this last week a little bit, right? Like, it's nice to have some of the DLC for it now. I wish I could have more of the DLC, but it's so damn expensive. Like, it's insane.
$1 billion.
Yeah, like, I would like to at least add, you know, the Cats and Dogs expansion, but, like, even half off, it's like $20. So, am I really going to drop another $20 on this game that I've already spent over $100 on just to have a fucking pet? But,
depends on how much your love for The Sims is really.
Depends on how much Miller Lite he drinks.
Yeah. I mean, it's tempting because, like, it's a great game. I think Sims 4 is awesome, but it would be so much better if it had all these things in it. But yeah, I'm just kind of unwilling to spend. I like waited years to even get just the seasons, but like, I just feel like seasons is kind of essential. You need that. Like, it gives you like these little events, and it kind of just changes things as the year progresses and shit. Like, I don't know. Like, I think that is like, you're gonna buy one expansion and get seasons, but even that, like, it's also like, it's crazy expensive for like what they're adding is actually not. That it doesn't feel like, you know, especially at a full price of like $40 per expansion, it doesn't feel like that, right.
Like, that's a game. Like,
yeah, it's like not a game.
The whole game.
You're adding a 1 gig update to a game. That's all it is. It's like, I don't know. It feels scummy.
Yeah. Is that a problem the Sims have always had?
I mean, yeah, like. Like, so, like, I remember playing Sims 2 on the PC back in the day, and when the Seasons expansion came out, it was $40. So, yeah, but, like, okay, so you made Seasons, and you added that to Sims 2, like, why is that not just part of the base game now? Like,
right.
That's my thing. It's, like, all of these things, it's not like you made Sims 4, and then you're like, oh, you know what would be a cool idea? If we added Seasons to it. It's like, no, you already know, like, you have the blueprint already. Like,
you know that's a cool idea.
Yeah,
twice before.
Yeah, and it's like that's the thing that like is bullshit about it. Like, Sims 4 could be really great, but as the base game, it feels like if you just play just the base game, it's like a really good version of Sims, but it's like feels like it's missing so much, you know. So I don't know. I guess it's cool that I at least have the seasons now, but and hopefully that'll keep me busy till like some of these. You know, bigger games, new games come out. But yeah.
None of which you're really interested in, so.
Right.
I mean, there's stuff coming. I mean.
You could join us for Gears. Come on. You got to.
No, I was just going to say, I'm sure I'll be having fun with Gears. Like, not only, like, you guys, but some of my friends that, like, live here. Like,
Wait. Are you differentiating us from your friends?
No, I'm just saying.
That's like, we should be insulted right now.
I don't know if I said that wrong, but I'm just saying, like, some of my friends who, like, live here in town, like, you know, they're not big gamers or anything, but they're, like, all about, like, fuck yeah, we're gonna play Gears, so I'm like, I'll be playing with you guys as well as some other friends, too, like,
oh, we could sure. Have, like, a giant party.
Ah. You know, and I'm always, like, I'm not, like, the biggest Gears fan ever, but it's, like, you always know those games are gonna be solid, and like, at least for me in the multiplayer, I'm like, I like Horde mode probably. I don't really play much of the other modes, but.
Yeah, well, Horde mode is a ton of fun, but they're also adding in an escape mode, which is like a 3-player co-op thing. So that's like cool too.
So yeah, like, yeah, I'll definitely be playing Gears probably more than I usually do. It seems like there's like excitement for. Probably because there hasn't been any games for, like, the last 2 months. You know, it's just like, finally some games coming out, you know?
Wait, there's been a ton of games the last 2 months.
No, there hasn't been garbage.
There's been Fire Emblem, Marvel, Mario Maker.
Yeah.
Madden. Night here.
Madden. Yeah.
Madden. Love it.
And Mario Maker was, like, literally 2 months ago.
Yeah, and I played it for maybe 20 minutes.
What really? That told you?
Yeah, I didn't. It's Mario Maker. It's the same.
Not even the story mode.
I played some of it and I thought it was not very good.
Well, damn.
Or broken human.
It's a half-assed 2D Mario. Like, that's stupid. It's like a Mario tutorial fucking...
Oh, no, the further you get in, like, it starts getting challenging.
Yeah.
Like, early on, yes, it is introducing you to, like, you know, simple Mario Maker concepts, but the further in you get, like, it starts getting more and more creative.
Whatever.
Anyway, so that was Sims 4. What else you been playing, Jeff?
Like I was saying at the beginning, like, I started finally playing Doom 2 on the Switch, because they removed that, like, having to give you your email thing.
Right.
So, yeah, Doom, you know, it's Doom. It's Doom 2. I heard, like, it's a bad port in a lot of ways. Like, I guess, like, the music is slower. Like, one weird thing is, like, if you go, like, to the home menu on the Switch, and then you go back to, like, go back to playing the game, it just freezes the game.
Oh, that's great.
Bethesda.
Yeah, like, you know, like, you know how, like, every game now, you can go fuck around, like, go on the eShop, and then you can go back to the game, and you're right where you were.
Right.
Well, you are right where you were, but it's just, like, you can't do anything. So you have to, like, just restart the game.
You have to,
like,
close it, so...
Yeah, like, go back to the main menu, close out, and restart the game. But, you know, I think Doom is, like, a lot of fun. I like that type of first-person shooter, like, where you're, like, exploring a maze and finding keys and shit. So, and I feel like... The reason I went with Doom 2 was just because I feel like I'm less familiar with that one. You know, like, Doom is, like, the classic. So I was like, right. I'll get Doom 2... I think I'm on the 10th level. They get pretty hard and, like, confusing as it goes on, but I'm actually really enjoying, like, playing that game while watching stuff on the TV and stuff, like, playing it in handheld mode. For as old as, like, for as ancient as, you know, they are as first-person shooters, I really dig that style of first-person shooter, so I'm having a lot of fun with it. Did you get those, Chris? Or did anybody get either of those?
I got... Doom 1.
Yeah. You played it at all?
I did. I beat it. I thought it was good. I mean, it's Doom.
Did you get it on Xbox or what?
I got it on Xbox, yeah.
Yeah. I got it on the Switch I think that, like, will ensure that I do beat it, because I'll be playing in handheld while I'm watching TV and shit, so. Although achievements would be nice. But I feel like, didn't you already own it? Like, wasn't it on 360?
It was.
Aren't those games, like, backwards compatible and shit? So, like...
They were. I think they are again. But when these versions of Doom, Doom 2, and Doom 3 came out, Bethesda actually removed them from the online store.
Yeah.
And also had them removed from your library. So you couldn't even access them.
Oh, how dare that's they? Weird. I've not heard of that one.
Yeah, that's a weird one. But they're back now. They said that was a mistake.
Oh, of course, yeah, uh-huh. Of course.
It's only a mistake because somebody caught them and called them on it.
Just like the stupid DRM, give us your email bullshit. Oh, well, we didn't mean to do that. Yeah, come on.
Also a mistake.
Yeah. Well, given that didn't actually work, that might have been a mistake.
Yeah.
Mistakes happen. I get it. Bethesda
makes lots.
So you essentially double dipped for no reason on that one, huh? Like, or did you at least get new achievements out of it?
You get all new achievements. It's a new game, so
yeah. So that's cool. How many levels? Like, I'm trying to figure out, like, how far I think I am in this. Like, how many levels is the first Doom?
So there are 8 or 9 per act or per story chapter. So there's 3 story chapters plus the 4th, which has like 7 or 8, but they're not part of the main story.
It's a decent amount of levels.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's like, you know, almost 30 or so, 30, 35 levels or so.
Damn, dude. So I would imagine Doom 2 is probably a similar length, right? So
yeah, I would think.
I guess I'll be playing that for a bit. It's fun. I think they're like again. I think they're really fun for how old they are.
It's fun. I haven't played Doom 2 in a while, but when you complete a level, does it like go to the map and then like kind of give you like, oh, here's your stats. Like you got
yeah, it'll be like
X percentage of kills, X percentage of secrets, X percentage of items. Here's your time, and here's the par time. Which yes. I don't know how anybody ever completes it on the par time because it's like 90 seconds. It's like it took me 42 minutes
to like beat the level. You would have to like
rush through it,
running those levels over and over, so you know, like, all right, I gotta go here and hit the switch. Like, you know what I mean? Like my par times are like not outrageous. Like, or say the par time's like 4 minutes. I usually come in, like, say a 4 minute one, I would probably come in at like 10 minutes or something. But like,
yeah, it's like 42 minutes is excessive, but
yeah,
like, definitely. Like, most of my times are like about 10 minutes.
Yeah,
how does somebody do this in 4 minutes? Like,
it's, I mean, you get the level down, and like you know, it gives it some replayability for the levels. I was very pleased with myself when one level's like 100% though, and everything, like all the kills, all the secrets, all that. It's like, hell yeah,
but, hell yeah,
yeah. Doom, that's the other thing I'm playing, Doom 2, and I feel like there's something else. Oh, I mean, there's not much to say about this, but I've been playing that Prominence Poker on Xbox, which is free.
Did they fix that? Or was that not the one that was
broken? That one always worked.
Okay. Yes, that one always worked, and it was free. And I honestly, cause I think Fozzie was asking me about it on Twitter the other night. He's like, is it good? I'm like, honestly, it's probably better than any poker game I've paid for, you know. And it was free. Like
it, yeah.
It's well done. There's like a lot of character customization, and you are like unlocking shit for your character, like to wear it. Like you could be sitting at the table with a fucking pistol on the table, like weird shit like that. And there's all sorts of like cool emotes you could do with your character. And even if you're not winning hands, you're always winning like this rep stuff, like that levels you up. For how you play. So it's like, even if, like, you know, you don't win a hand, but you played it right, like, you're gaining rep for that. But there's, like, a lot of things there that, honestly, like, most poker games, like, even the ones you pay for are, like, really bare bones. So, for free, I think the game is fantastic. And it's weird, it's because, like, I have convinced, like, a lot of my friends that live around here, like, we've been, like, last night, we were playing it for, like, 2 or 3 hours, you know, just fucking playing some poker. It was great. But yeah, there's not much new to say about that other than the game's still good.
Didn't you also just buy a bunch of cards and play together?
I mean, we do that as well, but it's harder to...
In this case, you don't risk any money, right?
Yeah.
How many people at a table?
8 or more? So, I don't know.
So we could all get together and play cards?
Oh, absolutely. We definitely should.
I mean, I am terrible at poker, but
then we should definitely play.
Yes. Fucking build my bankroll up.
Maybe when Gears runs its course.
It's funny. I played by myself the other night, and
oh yeah, you did.
It's like whenever I play by myself, I like those are like my like legendary nights.
I'm sure it's a legendary night when you play by yourself. I get it. I understand.
Yeah, I was just destroying.
Don't destroy it.
Just tearing it up.
Take it easy on yourself, man.
But yeah, I was like, I went, this guy, so like one hand, this guy forced me to go all in on a turn, and I had 2 pair, and then he flips over his cards, and he had the bigger 2 pair. And then on the river, I caught the full house. That got me going. It was like crazy. Like someone would call me. He'd flip over his cards. He'd have like ace queen. I had 2 aces. Like just crazy shit like that. And I was just like pulling stuff out of my ass. Like I sat down at that table with 10 grand, and I walked away like an hour later with like about 100,000.
Nice.
Which makes up for like last night where I fucking ate shit. So
does that bankroll carry over?
Oh yeah. I think I got about 150 in the bank right now.
Okay. All right. Earl,
What's up?
How are you?
I am great.
Yeah.
Grandest.
How was wrestling?
It was good. It was also a cheap bar. So, terrible combination.
Or awesome.
So
possibly.
Did I mention talk about Gears Pop?
No, we have not talked about Gears Pop yet. Okay. Have you got a chance to play it yet?
I've only played I played a tutorial and then two matches online. I don't 100% get the game yet, so that's on me.
Okay, yeah, but I think the more you play it, you'll get it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that it's a simple enough concept. It's something you're gonna play. Like, what is it, 3 minutes, 4 minute rounds?
Yeah, they're really quick.
So once I get the hang of it, it will be a better deal. But it is also very fascinating to kind of see something like Gears of War turned into a Funko Pop game.
It's absurd.
Yeah, especially because like at the end of each match, like the winning team will charge out to the field and use their answer to chainsaw the other team.
Yes.
But because this is a kid-friendly game, their heads just pop off.
Yep.
Which is also really still kind of absurd.
It's hysterical. Awesome. But it gets even better. So like your guy runs out, chainsaws them, and instead of blood and guts, the head pops off and it rolls away. And then your team is standing there getting the rewards for the victory, and then you see the head of the person you just played roll by and their headless body chasing after it. It's hysterical. Yeah, it's like super cutesy looking, which I find appealing in a weird way.
Yeah, I find it appealing. I find the whole game appealing. It's just weird from the franchise standpoint that it's like this very, especially being that I'll talk about this in a second, I just finished playing Gears of War 1 last night. So to go from that to this really cutesy, kind of charming mobile game, it's so weird for the franchise.
Yes, very.
But it also kind of works. From a logistical standpoint, none of it makes sense. Because
none at all.
You're playing as a random character who can summon gears, and you can also summon members of the Locust.
Yeah, you're ordering both gears and Locust out, and the DBs, like the little robot guys.
Yeah,
you're sending them all out.
Yeah, and it's like I don't like from a story standpoint, I don't get how any of that works, but I'll take it. And I like how it uses the cover system in the sense that it's not, I mean, it's a cover system and your characters will still hide behind cover. But for the most part, it's kind of like I forget if Clash of Clans is like this, but essentially it's kind of like a mobile where there's a point on one end, on both ends, you're protecting yours and trying to attack the other one. So you put out your characters in certain points and they will hang out there for a bit. If they can hold a point for like 10 seconds or something, you control the area, which means you can then spawn characters further up.
Yeah.
And then that's kind of the tug of war between it. It's like making sure you control enough space that you can have your characters move up and not get mowed down before they reach the other point. So that's the big strategy element that I'm still working on getting.
Yeah. Oh, no. Where did we lost? We temporarily lost Earl.
But he came back.
He did come back. I don't think he can hear us yet. But so what Earl was saying, like you have different characters and they're unlocked through like random packs. And each character has like different traits. So you have some that are cover based characters. Some that are considered tank characters or fodder characters. The tank characters don't capture cover. Only cover-based characters do, and they're the ones that run up and like hold that point for a little bit. So you're trying to get the points There's like 3 points on either side in between. So the field is only like, you know, these 6 points long, three on either. So like, I would say like, let's say 30 yards with two end zones. And you're trying to capture that and then move up and wipe out basically their fortifications. It's pretty cool. And you get achievements that tie into Xbox.
Wait, you actually get achievement points for playing?
Yes.
Ooh.
And it's free, It's free. It's also available on Windows. I have not. I downloaded it. I haven't played it yet. But
So I can play on my PC. I don't have to play on my
phone. Yeah, you don't have to play on your phone. But it works perfectly well on your phone, like, because I think it's actually very well designed for touch control. So you're dragging the characters up. Earl is asking questions.
These important questions. Very important.
But yeah, it's you get achievements for playing on, basically for playing an iPhone game. It's pretty cool.
Huh.
Lost Earl again.
No, not Earl. No.
He's having problems with Discord.
Yes, it seems to be working now.
Didn't like you, Earl.
Yeah.
Were you in Discord with Discord?
I mean, it might be that I insulted. Is it Craig?
I've been making fun of Craig forever. I don't understand why he's still listening to me.
Maybe he's beefing because I have beef with another bot on another Discord channel called Carl. We don't get along, and I'm ready to fight him. So if you're listening to this, Carl, you and I. 101 one these days.
Fuck you, Carl.
Yeah.
He's
a jerk. So I don't know part of that I cut out on.
Well, I kind of explained the rest of the concept to Tony. As you play, like when you win, you get like these boxes to unlock, and inside them they have more tokens or pins, I guess they're called, which you can then add to your squad. But you always want to make sure you have like cover based characters so that you can capture the points. Because you could set it up so you have no cover based characters, but that wouldn't work very well. It's fun. All right. Earl, did we lose you again?
No, I'm here.
Okay. So you have you gotten any achievements through it?
I got a few achievements for it so far. I mean, basically the basic ones were started in the game, playing through a match. I think winning an online match. I don't know. I've gotten a few achievements for it.
It's so weird. It was really weird coming home and, you know, seeing that I have points from an iOS game.
Well, I guess it's not so. I mean, it is weird, but I was gonna say part of it is because I have the Xbox app on my phone, so mm-hmm. It auto populates as I'm playing in any. Now. So okay. That's weird, but I knew it was gonna give me achievements. It is strange in the sense that you don't. Like, you get achievements. Like, I have an Android phone. So, like, Google's Game Store has achievements. But again, it's not the same thing because it's a whole separate entity that pops up. And it's like trophies, where trophies are a thing and you get points for them. But I don't know how it works. I don't care. Where achievements are your number sequence. You go from one to whatever. And not like,
yeah, there's,
you know, a 1% trophy. Yeah. So, but yeah, that was weird because I'm still not accustomed to it, even though I've had it on my phone for a few months now, where like my phone will beep whenever I get an achievement. And I always just assume it's a text message or something else. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I guess I got some points while I was playing this game. And I'm trying to see how many I actually do have from this game. So I have 55 achievement points from Gears Pop.
55? Interesting.
Yeah. There's 1,000 points.
Yeah, it's a full achievement game.
Some of them are going to take, like, if you are trying to hunt them all down, they're going to take a while. So there's, like, one, like, play, like, 1,000 matches or something like that. So good luck on that one. But, yeah, I think it's fun. I want more games with achievement points in them on my phone.
Yeah.
Earl, you finished the original Gears of War?
One definitive edition, yes. I have a friend who's going through the Gears of War franchise again. And I think it would be a good thing to do, but, you know, there's other people involved. So I did Gears 1 with them. They'll do Gears 2 with somebody else. And then we'll play Gears 3 together because Gears 3 is the one that introduces 4-player co-op.
Right.
It's just, I don't get why that's not from the, you know, a thing from the get-go, but whatever. I think I mentioned last week before that, you know, going through this again, I have forgotten how much of the horror genre Gears 1 aped from.
Mm-hmm.
And that only gets more and more as you play through the actual game and stuff like the abandoned power stations and the what are they called? The wraiths, but the ones that explode.
Oh, the wretches.
The wretches.
The lambent wretches.
Yes, that explode. And stuff like that, which switches up your strategy just a bit. That was interesting to see. And then there are parts of the game. Because again, especially in the first one, there are certain enemies that you see and it's just like, oh crap. So like the Berserker.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Which I don't remember being in later games that much. But yeah, like seeing the Berserker indoors and like not having access to the Hammer of Dawn, it's like, oh crap. And it's like, it's weird. I guess, again, I've played through Gears of War several times. I've played through the sequel. So some of this stuff has become easier with time. But I also assume some of that stuff they just made easier with the Definitive Edition because I didn't really have any troubles with this. I think the thing I remember most from the first game, two things I remember most from the first game, always giving me trouble was there are certain segments in Gears 1 and other Gears where it's like, oh, you can either go path A or path B. One person's going to go path A, one person's going to go path B.
Right.
And if either person dies, it's game over because there's no reviving because you're not near each other. And I just remember in the original game when I used to play it, that used to be super frustrating because you get down for anything. But I didn't really have an issue with that this time around. And then the other thing, I don't know if it's, again, I don't know if it's just getting better at the game with time and stuff like that, or if it's just like they didn't make, again, we're playing on normal and not like insane or any hardcore, or if they just didn't make enemies do as much damage or whatever. And the other thing I remember was General Ram, the final boss of Gears 1, was a pain in the ass in the first game. Because he had those...
the Krill surrounding.
The Krill, yes. The bats that pretty much KO you in one hit if they can attach to you. And this time around, we beat him before he even made his way across the other side. So it wasn't... Because essentially, you're on a train, and he'll come to you, and you have to run to the other side and then start attacking him. But you can only attack him when the Krill aren't around him. When I used to play the game, it was just a thing of going back and forth between not getting the Marsh. And that took me several times to beat in the original game when I was younger. This time, he didn't even make it halfway through the map one time.
My son and I replayed... Like, it was the first time he was playing, but when we played it, we had no trouble downing him either. And I'm exactly like you. I remember that being a pain in the ass boss fight, where like you were always like running and trying to revive your partner because he got down or you got down and they're trying to get you. And ultimately, you just ended up failing because you both got like in a bad spot. And this time, like, he didn't even get close to us.
Yeah, so I don't know if they changed that, but it was really so much easier this time around. Like, when he died, I'm like, wait, is there, like, a second phase? And no, it was just game over.
Remember, though, so I beat it, the original one on the 360, I beat on the hardest difficulty. But the only way we were able to do it was Ram got glitched. He got stuck on geometry and couldn't advance on us.
So just kind of...
Yeah, so like the krill would fly off and you could take him down. Like you could put some damage on him. That was the only way we could do it, because anytime, like on the higher difficulties, like they look at you the wrong way, you go down.
Yeah, yeah. Because, yeah, I was talking to my friend when we were playing. Because, like, the wretches aren't really a thing on normal difficulty. You could pretty much beat them down with one hit.
Yeah.
And so it's like, oh, here comes the wretches. And you just stand in a place and it's like whack, whack, whack. And you just build up a bunch of bodies. But on hardcore and insane, they do a ton of damage with you hitting you once.
Yep.
So it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, on normal, they're a nuisance, but they're not anything, you know, unpleasant. On harder difficulties, it's like, okay, I'm not going to touch anybody. I'm going to keep you as far away as possible. But the thing is, like, everybody seems to have perfect vision. So even if you're hiding, they know exactly where and when to shoot you.
Yeah, it's like when we get up to level 25 in Horde.
Yep.
And those enemies, like, double accuracy, double health, double damage.
Yes, but we have our fences.
We didn't have enough fences last time. That was the problem.
It's true.
We did not have enough fences last time. That I will agree to. But I think whenever I suggested building fences, you folks thought I was joking.
The one time we had any adversity, our other guy left.
That's right.
Yeah.
Oh, they're struggling now. Time to leave.
And then Don arrived to save us, and he's like, oh, what are the controls?
Right.
Oh, no. No, Don, no.
Don pulled it together.
He did.
That was the other thing. It's because I've been playing Gears of War 4 with you folks, so kind of going between Gears of War 4 and Gears of War 1. Like, the franchise as a whole, at least control-wise, hasn't changed a ton. But there are stuff you can do in 4 that you can't do in the original game.
Yeah.
And there are certain stuff that they've nerfed over time. Like, in the original game, the shotgun was king. But actually, a lot of those weapons were just kind of damage dealers that over time they've kind of made more in line with what you would expect from a game.
My son actually noticed this. I did not piece this together, but in the first game, like, your Lancer ammo is like 720, like, max amount. And then it lowers, like, in each progressive game. So, like, where you're only holding like 400 in Gears 3.
Oh, okay. I know it's like 680 in Gears 1. But yeah, and it's also, I think it gets more accurate with time, but also because it's an assault rifle, it does take like an entire clip to actually finish off. Like, I don't care for it too much, but the Hammer Burst is a much better gun for that, in that regard. But even stuff like the Baltic Pistol, which acts like a sniper meets shotgun, because you can kind of take a person out across the map one shot.
Yeah, it's the Halo 1 gun. The Halo 1 pistol.
Yes. So yeah, I made sure I always had my Baltic pistol. I'm like, I'm not going to put it out for any other gun. I think I said last week, that it's also weird because there's certain weapons that I thought were introduced later on in the franchise that are in the first game. Like, you can use the torque bow in the first game.
Mm-hmm.
You get the Hammer of Dawn in the first game, which I also thought was a later addition to the franchise.
The hammer is like really early in the first game.
Yeah, but the hammer also has that, because anytime you actually want to use it, it's like, oh, Hammer of Dawn is off. Yeah, it's like, God,
only,
damn it.
Only for set pieces, yeah.
Yeah, so yeah, and then the thing, and I can't, again, I don't remember the later games, I will replay them and give feedback, is the emergence host was such a big thing in the first game because if you were really good with them, you can actually close them off before anything really happens.
You could drop a grenade in them, yeah.
Yeah, I don't remember that being a thing really later on as the franchise goes on, where it's like, oh yeah, just kill these emergence hulls.
Well, so a lot of 2 takes place underground. So you're not going to have the holes. And then 3, for whatever reason, I don't know, they like fly out of the ground. I'm playing through with my son right now, and like they like rocket out. Like they don't pop a hole anymore. Like for some reason they shoot out of the ground and then land. It's really weird. But yeah, emergence hole is not as big a thing as the series goes on.
Yes. On the bright side, neither are the crew. The crew don't really come back.
Well, you kill them all in one.
Do you?
Yeah, so when you set off the light mass bomb, they're all underground. And that's the one thing they're able to completely kill.
Oh, I mean, kind of, because they're with Ram at the end.
Right, no, when you drop the missile on the train.
Oh, is that what happens?
Yep, okay. That eradicates the crew.
Because that was a terrible part of the game. Because it's almost an instant KO.
Mm-hmm.
And that's never fun.
Yeah, and my son wasn't, familiar with it. And I'm like, no. He would run out into the dark and just, immediately, get ripped apart.
Yeah, because there's no way to combat it. There's no way to shoot them or anything. It's just you're in the dark, you're dead.
It does a good, it happens once, which is maybe one time too many. But, if you're still running out into the dark after that first time, it's kind of on you. So, the game does teach you. It does a good job of kind of no, you don't want to do this. You need to find a way to stay in the light.
Yeah.
And then you realize that you need to shoot the propane tanks to advance.
They do mention that, though.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Marcus does, and then Dom's like, no, don't shoot them. They use that.
Yeah, that I kind of felt like a dick about.
It's like you're using all their their supplies.
Yeah, yeah, because they pretty much say, this is what they use for supplies, and it's like, no, we need the light source, so we're just going to kill all your fuel power because we need to get to this area. I mean, and it makes sense because, again, it's your priority. You want it. And the long term is helping them. And in the short term, you're kind of screwing them over.
Right, because most of them end up either taken by the locusts and moved underground into the slave cities in 2, or they're hanging out in the caves in 2 because we fucked everything up for them above ground.
Yeah.
And the cog.
That does remind me, and I don't remember. I don't think this is something that the franchise really follows through on. But there are scenes in the first one. There's one I'm thinking in particular when you go through a village, and the game's like, "Oh, we're gonna do that thing where you have to walk through really slowly,
mm-hmm.
so that everybody in town can give you a piece of their mind." And
they do that again in 3, where you're in Cole's hometown, it's early in Act 1, and you kind of do the walkthrough again, where people are. But in this one, they're, because Cole is a superstar, or was, they're all kind of celebrating him. It's funny, some of the callbacks.
Yeah. It still remains super fun, and I think one of the premier co-op experiences.
For sure, yeah. All right. Let's see. Tony?
Yes.
No.
Oh, come on. No. Just no.
Oh, I'm going to talk about Madden.
I can. Do you want me to talk about Madden?
No.
Would you like to hear about a strategy game?
No.
You know what? That's it. So I'm not going to talk about Madden. I'm going to talk about a strategy game instead.
God.
God damn it.
And not even a new strategy game.
No,
right?
Well, it is kind of new, sort of.
Sure, we'll go with that.
Age of Empires Definitive Edition. It's nice.
Yeah, I wanted to play it.
You should play it. Well, okay. I don't know if you should play it, because it plays like the original Age of Empires, which I remember playing way back in like middle school in like a library, because I didn't have a computer at home. It was like the first RTS game I ever played. But it's like, so now they've remastered it. It's in 4K. It looks awesome, by the way, now. But it plays exactly like that original game. So it's super slow. I played the game for an hour and a half and didn't make it through the end of the tutorials, which is a little frightening.
That's a long tutorial.
Yeah, no, each tutorial, it's the tutorials like 10 different missions. It's like the first, and they're all really dumb. Like it's really bad. Like the first one, it's like build two buildings. And the next one is like hunt some deer. But every time it's like it's loading you into a real mission. You're having to play through it and then go through all like the loading screens, and like it's really just...
So like all that stuff you're doing is not like carrying over into the main game as like
if, so there's you know what no I mean? Like, you there's saying, there's like... Did you have you ever played Age of Empires?
No, I remember in college my one friend, like one of my roommates, he was always playing it. I think Age of Empires 2 or something on his laptop. Like,
so not even a gamer,
but that's all he ever played.
There's no main game. So there are a bunch of campaigns, and each one consists of like a series of scenarios, but none of them affect any of the other ones.
Mm.
So okay. That's basically what the tutorial is. It's a campaign. It's like a bunch of different scenarios, but they're all stupid and lame.
Yeah, yeah.
It's all like things you need to know to be able to play the game, but just doing that one thing for like 15 minutes
yeah.
is incredibly frustrating.
Yeah, like collect 100 pieces of wood or whatever.
Right. One of them, it's literally you have to move someone from your like group to 5 different spots in the map before your civilization gets wiped out. And so you can only build the little worker dudes. You can't build any soldier units. And there's one horseman and one warrior hunting your guys down. So you have to go and find these 5 spots. And you're just basically like it's like walking around the map tutorial. While these guys are like wailing on your town center, but there's only 2 of them, so it's taking them like an hour, and they're like knocking it down like one point at a time. So you basically have forever to just walk around the map and find these 5 points, and like, but you have no idea where they are, so you have to walk around the entire map to find them. It's like bad tutorials, and they haven't done anything to like upgrade them or fix them, because there's been like, you know, developments of tutorials over time where they make them actually interesting.
Right, so they've really just taken the original Age of Empires game and made it look better.
That's kind of how it seems. Yeah.
Or PC?
Obviously. Yeah, definitely PC.
Through Game Pass or
Game Pass, yeah. And Age of Empires 2 is coming out in Game Pass in like November.
Hmm.
I always preferred that one anyway. I think it's a much better game. The campaign's much more interesting.
Wait, did we get a Game Pass announcement that far in advance?
They just had Gamescom.
Yeah, but
they announced all this there.
I didn't know they announced it until November.
Actually, I think they announced stuff that might not be coming out till like next year.
Some cases.
Are achievements with it?
There are achievements. They're all like finish the campaign, so I haven't gotten any yet.
I don't know if I like
finish
that.
The tutorial campaign. Great.
So okay. I just want to like collect 100 pieces of wood and get an achievement.
See, that's kind of what I was hoping for too. But it didn't happen. That's why I was playing the tutorial. Like, I know how to play Age of Empires. I could probably live without the tutorial, but I'm gonna rip through this thing and get the, it's like a 50 point achievement for finishing the tutorial.
Right.
It's gonna take like, you know, 15, 20 minutes, and we have this 50 point achievement. Move on. And of course, an hour and 15 minutes, I'm still like halfway through the tutorial campaign.
I've only gotten through 5 of these dumb missions.
When will this thing end? When?
Well, at least you know there's a lot of content to it.
Oh, plenty of content. Is it worth it? I don't know. But it's there. It exists.
Speaking of Game Pass, Devil May Cry 5 came out on Game Pass this week.
Did you check that out?
I did. I've only played like the first couple levels, so I don't have a whole lot to say about how it plays. Because it's still kind of the tutorial stuff. But one, damn, does that game look good. Capcom, I don't know if it's the same engine that Resident Evil 2 is on, but
yeah,
it is up there with like good looking shit. Like it is a good looking game.
Capcom is like always great with graphics, you know, like going back generations now.
Yeah. Like they have a great art style and visually, like there's something striking about it. And we'll see, because I know there's three characters. Like there's Dante, who is the traditional hero of Devil May Cry, Nero, who is the Devil May Cry 4 protagonist. Or co-protagonist.
And is he Dante's nephew?
I don't know. I think he is. There's some tie to him. So
Dante. I know there. Yeah, his brother is the villain of the game. I was going to say I've not played it. I've seen people play it, and I know how it ends. And okay. I think his brother is like one of the villains of the game, and I think that's Nero's dad.
Yeah. So I'm only through the first two levels or so, but there's a lot of cutscenes early on in this game. And when you start the game, Nero does not have an arm. Like his arm has been taken, and the kind of the point of Devil May Cry 4 was like Nero, like his shtick was that he had like his arm was a demon arm. Like he was part demon. And like he could do like magic shit with his arm. Well, in this cutscene I got right before, so we're like two chapters in now. This cutscene I got in DMC5, this unknown creature comes in to the garage where Nero's working and just rips his arm off. And then he says something about like he's taking it back. And he's very weak or whatever. And then it turns into Virgil's sword. So I was like, I bet that's Virgil. So I don't know. The Devil May Cry story is like so convoluted and stupid anyway. But there's a lot of style to how they present it. So I don't know. We'll see. It does look really good, though. Go ahead.
I was going to say I downloaded it, and my intention was actually to play it tonight before the podcast, and then I ended up just literally, I got home and jumped on this show, so.
I played the whole thing.
You played all of DMC5?
Yeah.
So are we correct in assuming that that's Virgil?
Here's all I was going to say about it is I remember absolutely nothing about that game.
Cool.
Which like, is really jarring because it's only out what February of this year.
I remember I think March or yeah something like crazy like yeah not long ago, and it was fine. I just found it like very kind of forgettable and like I kind of regretted instantly that I had spent $60 on it. Like when I was done with it, I was just like, eh.
Well, I imagine you regret it even more now that you can get it for quote unquote free.
Yeah. Yep. Absolutely. I mean, it was fine. It wasn't like it was a bad game or nothing, but like I can't think of one specific thing to tell you about that game.
Other than like it looks good, yeah.
It looks fine, yeah. Sure.
So real quick, I played and beat Metro Last Light. Because Metro Exodus is on Game Pass, and I wanted to play that, but I hadn't played Last Light yet. That's actually like a really good game.
I could never get into it. I tried.
So which did you play 2033, or did you try Last Light as well? Or
I think 2033.
So 2033 is a much rougher game.
Yeah,
I think Last Light is way better. It's almost like a survival horror shooter at times. I think the story is really good. There's some great tension in it, and it plays better than 2033 does, which is
like, yeah.
I like. There's some frustrating moments where I wish that it just handled more like maybe like Call of Duty or Halo. It's like this wants you to do some precision shooting, and it's. The game is not designed for that, but otherwise, like I really liked it. I was like, I'm just gonna kind of play through this so I could try out Exodus, and now I'm going into Exodus, going like, Last Light was really good. Now I'm excited to play Exodus. Yeah. And I downloaded Dauntless, which Earl has already talked about earlier this year. It's basically free to play Monster Hunter.
Yeah,
I really like it. it takes all like the kind of like the bullshit of Monster Hunter and throws it away. Like it has its own bullshit, but it's like a lot of the convoluted nonsense that Monster Hunter has that I couldn't like wrap my head around.
It's gone.
It's
simplified in so many ways. It does have its problems, but a lot of it, and I think when I talked about it, the biggest thing is just like how it does co-op. It's a very simple, you partner up with a group,
yep. You
fight a monster together. There's none of this like, oh, you have to wait until I watch this cutscene and then I would send for fear. And then once I send for fear, you can come join me. Like halfway through this mission, it's like, no.
Yeah,
all like, gotta go on this mission together from the get go.
It's like, oh, and you can just like flat out go, I want to hunt this monster, and it will pair you up with a group of people that is hunting that monster, or you can go on patrols, and like it's just way easier. And once it finds you a match, which doesn't take long, you're like out and hunting this monster in like a couple minutes. Sometimes the hunting of the monster isn't even really hunting. Like it drops you and you can see it in the distance. It's like, it's got to run forward. The world is not quite as populated as like the areas where you would go hunting in Monster Hunter.
Like I can tell it's not populated at all. I've never seen another monster outside of the main.
Like there's like stuff to like harvest and collect, but
yes.
There's no like in Monster Hunter World, like you're going out and trying to fight like what, like the great Jagra or whatever. But there's also like little Jaggies, and then there's the little goat guys, and like
the other monsters.
Yeah, and like sometimes around. You come up with like the T-Rex or the like the Mothra type creature. So like there are other monsters on the map. In Monster Hunter, where like this is like you're fighting this monster, it's on the map, go find it and then fight it with these three other people. But it's over real quick and it's fun.
I think the other thing that it simplifies that it isn't as obvious to know is how to not hunt the monster, but kind of how to grind a monster. I don't necessarily think Monster Hunter always makes it clear, where this one is very clear. Like there's three body parts: this head, body, and tail. You craft the tail, you get certain pieces. You damage the head, you get certain pieces. The body you tend to get in general because that's where you're going to end up doing most of the damage, and that's it. There's nothing else to it. It's just like if you want to grind for this piece, you're going to need a weapon that damages his head. Or it stuns it enough that you can kind of break off a piece of its head. Or you're going to have to attack the tail or something like that. And that's it. It's pretty straightforward in that regard as well.
Yeah, it's like, oh, I want to like increase my, like build my armor or my weapons out of this type of monster. These are the pieces I need. Here's how I get it. Like, it's very upfront. I don't feel that like it's pushing me to buy anything. Definitely, like, you can, but everything seems to be cosmetic. Like, nothing that you buy like impacts the gameplay, at least that I've come across yet. So the one thing I will say is I'm not like, they have a season pass kind of like Fortnite does. I'm not a big fan of their season pass.
Why?
Because it's their seasons are really, really short, and to get levels, it's a very heavy grind. So there's like a couple ways you can get levels. There is weekly challenges, which will give you, if you complete all the weekly challenges, you'll gain 6 levels, because you'll get enough of the material to upgrade your pass. There are daily, like in the hub world, you can collect 10 of something. It gives you 50 of the thing.
Yeah.
That's half a level.
I did not realize that was a daily thing that changes.
Yeah, it changes every season. Yeah. Or the location changes.
Yeah.
Of where they are. Yeah. Yeah. So like you go in and like there's different ones that are lit up, and you can only get, I guess, 10 of them a day, which gives you 50 points. So that's 3. If you go every day, that's 3.5 levels. So you're at 9.5 levels for a week. But the season, the new season just started. It's only 25 days long. So you need to find a way, if you want to max out the season pass, you need to find a way to get 2 levels a day over 25 days. I'm not seeing how that's possible, because those are the only 2 assured ways of getting it. Everything else is a random drop from your hunts. So you might get like 6 or 12 of the items when you fight an enemy.
Just gotta keep fighting those enemies.
Yeah, it's just like, you know, in Fortnite, like you could go on and just by playing, you could gain a couple levels or do a couple challenges, and like you'll gain your, you know, enough stars or whatever to increase a level. You might not get to 100, but it's a doable run over the course of the season. Like, this seems very difficult to do. And then with the season being so short, like they're asking you for $10 like every 25, 30 days. That seems to be pushing it a bit. Like all the other seasons that I've seen, like Fortnite, Apex, and PUBG all seem to be about 2 months or so for a season, or 2.5 months, I guess, in Fortnite's case. Anyway, I'm enjoying Dauntless, and it has full crossplay.
Ooh.
You can play. So I downloaded it today on PC.
Wait, was that the screenshot you showed us?
Yeah. So there was somebody in my party that was on Xbox. 2 people were on PlayStation, and I was playing on PC. So you can play completely crossplay.
It's consoles coming together in harmony.
Yep. It's like originally when I was playing on Xbox, I was only getting people on Xbox PC. But today I got everybody. So that's it for games we've been playing. What do we got in news? Oh no.
Did I go missing again?
Yeah, I couldn't hear you for a second, so.
Oh, no, you just kind of stopped talking.
Oh, fair enough.
Sounded like you cut out. I thought we all dropped.
Yeah.
I was like, no. Nah.
Is the podcast over? That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Was there any news, Earl?
Yes, there was a ton of news. It's GamesCon week. So, I mean, there's big news, but we'll start with kind of smaller news or more eventful news or whatever. So, you know, it came out today that Mortal Kombat 11 is getting some DLC, which includes the Joker, the Terminator, and Spawn, which is an odd trio of characters.
Yeah.
And there's like two or three other characters, I think, from actual Mortal Kombat lore. But those were kind of a big takeaway. Actually, the main reason I wanted to bring this up is it seems like the Terminator is everywhere this year, because it's also in Gears of War.
Yep.
And isn't it also in another game this year? Oh,
maybe.
I thought there was another game at E3 that Terminator was announced to be in. But yeah, the Terminator is getting around.
I mean, he should be in everything. He's in a new movie this year. Yes.
Yes. Is it going to be a good movie?
I know things about that movie.
What do you know?
That's
about
not
that
an answer.
I can't say. I mean, I'm not gonna say here.
Well, are they positive things?
Yes.
Okay.
Surprise me.
We can leave it at that.
So, anyways.
All right. Well, Terminator.
Rules. Fuck yeah, Terminator.
But yes, that's coming to Mortal Kombat. And as always, I'm always so fascinated because it's been, what, 5 or 6 games between Terminator and Injustice where you know there's going to be some random character who makes the DLC. And yet fans are still get upset by it. I mean, oddly enough, they're not upset by Spawn or Terminator. They're upset by Joker.
I'm not upset. I mean, I don't have Mortal Kombat 11. Did I probably to buy DLC for it, but that it just seems weird being as Injustice is a thing and you can play as Joker there.
Well, I think it's a back and forth because like Injustice tends to get Mortal Kombat characters. I think the last one had Raiden and Sub-Zero.
Okay.
As
I guess
DLC
that makes sense.
Characters.
That's cool.
That's what I mean. It's like it's a back and forth. Like I think the previous Mortal Kombat also had a DC character, and I think Injustice 1 had. I mean, it's owned by the same company. It's very easy to license it to yourself.
Yeah. I mean, whatever. I wasn't going to play it anyway. So it's like, but yeah, if there's already precedent for it, then why are people upset about the Joker?
I mean, I think part of it is I think people are over the Joker. I think people feel like he gets played out too much, which I get and don't get at the same time.
Do you think it's weird that they're not using the like Joker from the movie that's coming out?
That is weird, but I also don't even know which Joker this is because he doesn't look like anybody.
It's true.
See,
I'm just over here like,
is it voiced by Mark Hamill?
I mean, I don't know. I honestly don't even... I don't have Mortal Kombat 11, so I didn't look any further than like this is what was announced. But I can't imagine it's Hamill just because I haven't seen anything from him about it.
Yeah, I don't know. But if I were still playing Mortal Kombat 11, I would get these... like. I like them. I like Spawn. I hate to admit, but I'm a Spawn fan.
You don't have to hate to admit that.
It's like
I'm a bad person because
that's like my character. Like that's my exact dork zone. Is like that's how you know my age. Like I was 13 when fucking Spawn came out. You know,
there was a time when Spawn was cool.
Yeah, he still is in my heart.
It's I mean, also he, weird.
Go ahead.
Oh. I was going to say, it's also weird just because Spawn is such an odd character, but this is like the second or third fighting game he's been a guest.
Wasn't he in Soul Calibur or something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah. But I never got to play him in that either. So I had the GameCube version.
And he was in the Xbox character. Version, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
because the PlayStation version had...
Hiachi.
Yeah. Weird. So weird.
It is super strange. What else did we get from Gamescom? Well, not Gamescom, slightly game related, but the Uncharted movie also is director again. So I honestly can't keep track of this movie because right now it still stars Tom Holland, but I'm almost certain that it's been rebooted with various actors, writers, and directors over the past 5 years. According to some places, this is only the second director, which I don't believe. But I
this
don't.
Is the fifth director.
It's vaporware.
It is vaporware. But I think somebody said that Sony itself is actually getting involved in it now.
Oh no!
So we'll see.
Bad. That means Spider-Man is no longer in it. That's what it means, right?
Well, Sony does have an actual movie theater.
Okay.
I mean, not a movie theater, a movie studio. So it's not like they are. Not like they are. Strangers to making movies. It's just that like, it's weird that they weren't involved from the get-go, but it does seem like Sony is getting involved with the making of this movie. So we'll see what happens with that. But that only came out today. And speaking of Sony, I guess we might as well. This is the big news of the week, is that Sony has officially bought Insomniac Games.
Yeah. That's pretty big.
It isn't. It isn't. It's kind of like if Nintendo was to buy Next Level Games or Intelligent Systems, it'd right. be a like big deal. But it's like I kind of associate you with.
Yeah, it's like I kind of had thought that they were just with them in like in some way as a second party already. Like I know they did what Sunset Overdrive.
Yes, and they did Fuse, but we don't talk about Fuse. But.
Yeah, they're just so strong. Like, you know, they did Spider-Man. That was only on
PlayStation.
Yeah, so it's just like it kind of felt like...
Resistance and all the Ratchet games are also only on PlayStation.
Yeah. So it just feels like they are a PlayStation developer, but I guess it's cool. I mean...
That they're officially PlayStation. Well, I mean, it isn't. It isn't. Like,
I'd rather have their games on both.
Yeah, it's the same thing when Microsoft buys a studio. It's like, oh, this is nice for the studio, but yeah, like, ideally you want these studios working on multiple games. Multiple platforms or something like that. But, like, it's in good for Insomniac. You know, we also got data that pays, Spider-Man on PlayStation sold 13.2 million, which makes it, one of the highest selling exclusives of all time, but also the highest selling video game, comic book video game of all time.
That... Not the success of Spider-Man, that doesn't surprise me, but the sale to Sony after the success of Spider-Man is what kind of surprises me. Like, you would think at that point that they would have, you know, they would have the money and the power to remain independent and continue to do what they want, and instead they're selling to Sony.
Right, but your company's also at max value, so if you like
own right.
a company and you're looking to make a profit, now's the time.
True. Like you're coming off your best success and maybe it was time.
I mean, the thing isn't from their end, because from what I understand, it's not the first time that Sony has tried to purchase them. So it's more like what made it the right time for them. Because to your point, it's like, even though they're valued at the highest they've ever been, that also means that they are the most wanted. And I assume they could work with any publisher they wanted to at this moment. Why go exclusive with Sony?
Or was there talk of Microsoft backing a truck up to them with money? And Sony was like, here, take our money first. I don't know.
I want a truck full of money.
Yeah, please. anything else, Earl?
Well, there's a few other stuff. What else did we get? Nintendo had their Indie World presentation. So Ori and the Blind Forest is coming to the Switch in September, which would be the second Microsoft published. I mean, technically, I guess Minecraft, but that's kind of a weird one. But the second Microsoft Studio exclusive game coming to the Switch.
Mm-hmm.
Super Hot Hotline Miami 1 and 2 came out the day of that event. Some other stuff. Game Informer or GameSpot, depending on what you, GameStop, I should say, have gone through massive downsizing this week. They laid off half of Game Informer staff and about 100 people at the GameStop stores.
And was it at the stores or was it at their corporate office?
The corporate levels for the stores, yes.
Okay.
And, you know, it's one of those things I think that just kind of reinforces that, like, no aspect of this industry is really safe right now. Which, again, kind of, it's weird because it's a industry that's currently in a very big growth span, but that's not reflected in anywhere but profits.
Yeah.
I mean, we've known, though, that GameStop has been in trouble for a long time, right? Like, I think this isn't a surprise that this happened.
No. And being as, while Game Informer is kind of independent, I guess, editorially, they are kind of just a marketing arm in a sense, right, of the store. Like,
their magazine is clearly like, you're here to help GameStop sell
us our pro memberships.
Yeah. I mean, it's one of those things. I mean, the infamous story from the yesteryears as a Nintendo fan is how Game Informer used to give Mario Party bad reviews because, and this was from Game Informer, is that they never thought that Mario Party sold, so it made no sense to promote it in reviews.
Oh, that's ugly.
Yeah, it's a weird one, but I forget where this came from. It came from like the mid-2000s where like a Game Informer editor or former editor pretty much outlined like why Mario Party's just did not review well. I mean, there's a lot of reasons not to review Mario Party's well, but that was really kind of one of those like, oh, okay, this is what your magazine is for then.
Yeah. It's to sell games, and you know, if they're not selling games there anymore, what's the point?
Yeah, and I think we've talked about GameStop before, where it's like, it's not like they haven't tried. They've done, you know, they partner with ThinkGeek. They've tried selling tablets and smartphones. They've tried a lot of stuff that hasn't really taken off. And I think one of their, I mean, part of it is that they have been greedy. But I do think last generation, for better or worse, that a lot of publishers were able to make them the bad guys in a lot of gamers' eyes. Where it's like, oh, we won't buy used or we won't buy secondhand because these publishers don't get the money and it's wrong that GameStop does and they don't do any of the work. And I think that mentality really did set them back. And of course, the major, major one is that a lot of people are going digital at this day and age.
Yeah. Well, it's sad that people have lost their jobs, but as Tony said, I don't think... I don't think we didn't see this coming. We got anything else besides Norman Reedus is Wang?
Oh, yes, we do need to talk about that at some point. But before we do, just real quick, NBA 2K20, Steve Urkel's in it.
Oh, God, why?
I honestly do not know. I honestly do not know, but Steve Urkel's in it. I mean, I guess Steve Urkel is a big NBA person, if you remember watching the show.
Right, no, he was very good at basketball. I remember him.
He hung out with Grandma Ma and Larry Johnson.
That's right.
So, you know, Urkel knows how to hoop.
Cool.
And I think Elgis Alba's in it. And the guy from Silicon Valley, whose name I never remember.
The guy who runs
the main character. Yeah, yes.
I don't know his name either, but I know who you're talking about.
And I mean, I don't play NBA 2K, so I didn't realize that apparently having celebrities in their story mode, their my player mode, isn't uncommon for the franchise.
Nope, they have it every year.
So I didn't know that. I just saw, like, honestly, it was like Urkel's in NBA 2K20, and I'm like, wait, what? And yeah. So if you want to you know, it's due to Urku. Due to Urku, do it. Do it. Everybody, do the Urku. Okay, so aside from that, Nintendo yeah, game.
You can keep going with that.
Nintendo's had a few, not Nintendo Directs or anything like that, but they've had like presentations at Gamescom. I think the biggest thing that's come out of that is first footage of The Witcher 3 on the Switch. So yes, Digital Foundry, I think, is the site that does the technical analysis. Yeah. You know, it's a step down from the PS4 and Xbox One version, to be sure. But they seem to be rather
close.
I don't want to say impressed, but they were surprised at how well it translates to the Switch.
Nice. I honestly would have expected it running at like 4 frames a second and looking like somebody smeared grease all over my screen, but
no.
It's good to hear it that it works.
You could tell, like, if the side to side comparisons. You can tell there's a huge drop in like textures and like foliage and stuff like that. But for, it doesn't look like awful. I guess is the best compliment you can offer.
Right, I mean, as long as it's playable.
Yeah. We also got officially released the first footage of Marvel's Avengers from Square Enix, which is about the first 20 minutes of the game. And it shows a gameplay from Iron Man, Captain America, Hulk, Black Widow, and Thor.
Okay.
Have any of you seen this?
Still not seen it, no.
I saw Iron Man shooting a truck with a beam.
You sold that so excited.
It was thrilling.
Something an Iron Man does, he shoots stuff with...
It was the greatest moment of my life. Beams. The characters look less like ass now.
It's weird because they look less bad than they did at E3, but they look not as good as they did at PAX. Not at PAX, San Diego Comic-Con. So, and we weren't supposed to see San Diego, but the footage from San Diego is essentially the same thing that leaked. And they look slightly more like the movie counterparts, where some of these look better. Some of them still look like Walmart branded Avengers. especially Thor, I think it's the hair.
Yeah, just doesn't look right.
Yes, so that's a weird one. And honestly, aside from the looks, I think the game looks really kind of boring because it's a games as service. It's a multiplayer co-op game, but the gameplay they showed, and I've had a lot of discussion on this week. A lot of people have said. But I'm just basing this off of the gameplay they chose to show. Not, you know, it can be a better game, but this is what they chose to showcase. It's so full of quick QTEs and just kind of button mashing. Like, I don't get how it works as an actual co-op games as service experience, because it seems so on rails and so guided.
Yeah, that doesn't really... Normally games of service are a little more open.
Yeah, they're very RPG driven. They're very get this character, level them up, find skins. I'm not sure what they're doing here. And this gameplay didn't tell me that, and it doesn't look like it's that great where I'm like, oh man, this gameplay looks so great. I don't care what it's about.
So do we know when that's coming? Sometime next year, I assume.
It's out in May of next year, I believe. All
right, so it already has a release date.
Yeah.
There's still some time for them to kind of like...
Oh, no. There's time for them to fix it and like what the actual game might... Because I assume this is kind of a really baked-in hidden tutorial on how the game works. But until we see what it's going to be from the player's standpoint, it's hard to really get a feel for it. But this is, again, what they chose to showcase the first of three times.
Yeah, the first three times they've shown it, yeah.
Yeah. We got Mario and Sonic at this Tokyo Olympics news. I know the reason I bring this up is that there is an AE a retro mode. Let's go with that. I think they're calling it a 1964 mode. So you can play as 8-bit Mario sprites with 16-bit Sonic sprites in certain gameplay modes. And it's really cool.
That does sound cool. I don't know if I want to spend $60 on a Mario and Sonic Olympic game. I played them before. They're fine.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it up. They're fine. But I kind of want to get it for this stuff now.
I've never played one. No.
Yeah. They're fine. They're a bunch of mini games. Like the Olympics, unfortunately, a lot of the games being individual events, like they don't, it's not that they don't translate well. It's just that they end up being just mini games. It's like how far can you jump or how far can you throw this thing or whatever.
Yeah, and that's like, pretty much like what track this game and field is.
Back in the day, you know.
Like, yeah.
Yeah, I kind of want to get it though. It looks like it has some personality. I think it would be fun to like whip out here and there to play with people.
Yeah, I don't remember which one I played, but the last one I played of them, like there is some personality. They have like a story involved, and they put some effort into them. Like they're not bad games.
Yeah, maybe this will be the.
That'll Jeff be the one.
Bye-bye?
I don't know.
He disappeared. Maybe this will be the time Jeff just stops speaking.
Wait, am I gone? Am I here?
You're back
you cut
again.
Out for a second.
I live!
You do live. was that it, Earl, except for
the big one.
For how to pee in Kojima's next game?
My God.
Not only how to pee. But how to use your pee as a weapon.
Yeah. I mean, if you're going to use your pee, it should be as a weapon.
This is true.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you should talk to Sony. Maybe they can get you a contract for a game that's going to take 5 years to make.
So do you use your pee as a weapon, or do you use it to...
You can use your pee as a weapon.
Okay. So I heard, like, if you pee, like, on the ground, like, a mushroom will grow or something.
Well, you can also gameplay element for different stuff like grown mushrooms. So yes, you're in this power and urine.
Yes, sir, is.
You're in luck.
All right, I don't know. The more I hear about this game, the more I'm like,
I don't need this in my life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe it'll. I don't know. I. It's like maybe it'll come to Game Pass, but it's a Sony exclusive, so or maybe I'll get it in May when it's $20.
Sure.
I have zero interest. Every time they open their mouth about it, I lose I lose more interest in it every time they talk about it.
This game is out in, what, 3 months? And yes. The fact that we're still trying to figure out what it is it not... Okay, I will be honest with you. I had no interest in this game whatsoever. But, you know, like I watch all these shows and events. So it always kind of comes across if it's this, if it's the Game Awards or whatever. And I'm like, I have never been able to figure out what this game is. And the fact that somehow every time I see it makes me wonder what it is more and more and more. Is it a selling point? It's the opposite for me. So I don't get how people are like, in Kojima, we trust. I'm like, why? What do you see in this game that's like, we have to get this?
It's so funny.
I'm to the point where I'm concerned about people who are excited about it. I'm like, there's something wrong with you. Should you be talking to somebody?
They're part of the cult of Kojima.
Yeah, I mean, it's. I get it. I get it. I do. I mean, it's just like...
Sure.
You know,
No, I don't get it. Please explain to me.
I get it from the standpoint of, like, being a film fan. Of, like, if I don't care. If, like, John Carpenter had a new film coming out, I don't care what it is. If it looks like dog shit, I'm still excited, you know? Kevin Smith, I'm the same way. You know,
see, I had a similar thought this week, and I'm like... There are very few people I kind of blindly trust like that. And I think part of it is... But that is what you're saying.
It means I'm there for it no matter what, though. Like,
But that is blind you trusting them.
No, I mean, it's just there. It's I'm interested to see one way or another. You know, I don't know.
So it's a blind trust that you hope that it's something you enjoy.
I mean, I hope everything I see or play, I enjoy.
Right.
Well, yes, that's true. But that's different from like, okay, I saw Ready or Not tonight. And that's not, I don't know the director, I don't know who's the star or fit or anything. It was me just trusting reviews for saying this is a good movie. Mm. That's different than me saying, like, oh, the next movie that's made by the Russos, I'm going to go see because I trust them from the Avengers. Like, without knowing nothing about it, I'm going to go see that.
Like, Christopher Nolan, like, anything that that guy puts out, I will go see.
Like, well, I trust Christopher Nolan, but that's an exception.
It's not a trust or not. Like, to me, it's like
you're interested in whatever work they're doing, good or bad.
I like it like, or not. Always yeah.
like, interesting that okay. they put out.
The way I would frame it is that if somebody I like who has a track record, it gives them a leg up on me checking like being invested in what they're doing. It doesn't necessarily mean I'm going to go see it. Like even with Christopher Nolan, his next movie he's filming it now. It's out next summer. Like okay, I'm into that because I know it's him. But like, I don't have any. Like right now, it's not like oh, I'm going to go see that movie next year. It's like. Okay, so I will wait until the trailer is out or I know more information.
Yeah, I mean, like right now, I've already decided. Like Christopher Nolan releases another movie, I am there to see it.
It's just like a good example for me is like Paul Thomas Anderson. I don't always love him, but like I'm there. I want to see what he's doing next. Like you know whatever. So like I kind of get it from that standpoint. I'm not saying that's exactly like. It seems like a lot of people just like assume like. Because it's Kojima, it's gonna be amazing or whatever.
Well, okay, but here's the other thing, and you know, just to draw a wide comparison, you know, we brought up Christopher Nolan. Christopher Nolan, in the past decade, has done Batman, he's done Inception, he's done Interstellar, he's done Dunkirk. Kojima has done Metal Gear. Like that's it.
Yeah.
Like there isn't like. Okay, what else has he done? And this isn't Metal Gear. This doesn't look anything like Metal Gear. There's no stealth. There's no sneaking. This is a completely different type of game.
This is the Metal Gear he always wanted to make with urine.
Yes.
I find it funny that none of us are like... there's four of us doing a video game kind of podcast and we're all just like, I don't give a shit about Kojima.
Well, like, I mean...
Like, I just don't.
I mean, to be fair, I mean, you know, I'm relatively new to it, but I've listened. From what I've gathered, I think we all kind of have the same thing in common, in that we care more about gameplay than we do about story or, you know, this grand game idea or stuff. And that's his thing isn't necessarily the minute-to-minute gameplay. His is like, I have this big idea I want to explore, which is great to a certain audience. But it's also, it's something that it's very hard to translate into hype because you just have to buy into the cult of Kojima to be like, I trust him, I trust his vision or his ideas more than like this gameplay that we're seeing of this guy pissing to make mushrooms or this magical ladder that extends up a mountain. It's like, it does not make sense. No, not that it doesn't make sense because video games don't have to make sense. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look interesting.
I think that's very much it for me. Like every time they talk about it, every time they show something, I'm like, none of this is hitting any of my buttons.
Fuck that game.
Yeah, not even in a curiosity sake. And this is very petty and minutiae in the grand scheme of things. I also don't like the fact that Jeff Keighley is in this game, and not because I dislike Jeff Keighley or anything. I actually like Jeff Keighley. But I feel like it's one of those things where it just kind of gets so, like, this is too in the weeds, too meta. This is too, like, oh, don't you know that they're good friends in person and Kojima and Kiyoshi have worships been. Them. Yeah. And it's like one of those things where it's like if, yeah, I don't even know what a comparison would be. It's just really, it feels very skeezy because it feels like, again, it's video games. I shouldn't take them too seriously. But I feel like there should be a divide between creator and critic. And this just feels like
them laughing at that divide.
Sure. Is Keeley still a critic at this point? Or more?
Well, I mean, what would you consider him at this point?
I don't even know. Marketing liaison for Kojima specifically. Like, I mean, I don't know. Like, does he do any critical work anymore? Like,
well, I mean, did he ever do any critical work?
That's fair.
And I don't mean that as a sham at him, but as far as I know, he was never a reviewer, or he was the voice of game creators and stuff.
He was a host, yeah.
Yeah, he's a personality, but he was never, as far as I can tell, on the editorial side of content. He was always kind of like the point person or the interviewer, but he was never like the guy you go to for that feature length feature or review. Or in depth, you know, like, he's not the right. Jason Schreier from Kotaku or something like that.
Right. He's like, Schreier's like who he would go to. He's like, all right, and Jason's going to do. So.
But at the same time, he's clearly not a creator. So it's like this weird thing. Like, I guess because we don't know what he is, it still feels kind of scuzzy that he's in this game.
Sure.
But yeah, and the other thing I don't necessarily like, which is a minor thing, just because I watch this, it's like, oh, we're gonna reveal actual gameplay at TGS.
What the hell have they been showing for the last 3 years?
Yeah, that's my problem. It's like, okay, you can't be like, oh, we're gonna show you actually what this game is in a few weeks. It's like you've been showing this game on and off for 3-4 years now. Like, I shouldn't be waiting until Sokyo Sadanchi for you to be like, oh yeah, here's what the game actually is. This is what you're going to do.
I mean, maybe I will change my mind on it and be like, oh, I'm going to get it now. But right now, I don't see myself getting this in November.
I'm not.
Well, to be fair, it was never on my radar. But I just thought like they would put an effort to sell to somebody like me, and so far it just seems to be catering to an audience that's already going to buy the game,
right? Which is very much like the Kojima fan base.
Yeah, like, and you know what? If it makes Sony and him money, why not?
Yeah, and if it makes his fans happy, then great.
Yes. So yes,
not every game needs to be for us.
No, it doesn't. And I'm happy that they're kind of going out of the way to prove that it's not for us.
Right. So that was Gamescom. Is it over now?
I believe so. You don't get to rest too much because PAX is next week. But it's after we record, so we won't have PAX news for next week.
Yeah, I don't know what we'll have next week. I will have played a little bit of Control, hopefully. That comes out Tuesday.
Well, my hope is that I will play some Devil May Cry 5. I also want to try the Dragon Quest 11 demo, which is now on the Switch.
Yeah, I hear it's like 10 hours long, so...
Yes, I hear it's very meaty, and you can carry over all the progress to the main game, so that's nice. Good. Is anything else this? Oh, Astro Chain is out next week, but that's also Friday.
Is that the
Platinum game for the Switch? And I also want to get the Dark Pictures Man of Medea.
Yes, that's out on the 29th.
It's either the Thursday or Friday of next week, so it'll also be after we record.
Yeah, but... that's after we record, and so is Blair Witch, which is on the 30th. So,
oh, I didn't realize Blair Witch is out next week.
It's out next week, and it is on Game Pass.
Oh, awesome. I might check that out, too. So, yeah, I mean, I guess next week kind of is the end of summer for games, because from the week after on, it's kind of all... downhill or uphill for your wallet.
Depending upon how you want to look at it.
Yeah.
I'm just counting the days till Zelda.
Which also had a Gamescom demo, but yeah, Zelda's out soon. I think it was announced, not, you know, not Final Fantasy VIII Remastered's out first week of September. It's like the third or something like that.
Yeah, $20.
Yeah, which is odd. It's cheaper than 10 and 12, I think.
It's in line with where 7 and 9 are, though.
Yeah, but this is, I mean, they're calling it a remastered, I mean.
Right. Or,
yeah. So yeah, that's out. Link's Awakening, as you mentioned, is out in September. NBA 2K20 with Steve Urkel's out in September, I believe.
Yep, Gears is out in early September.
Gears is out. September is like, woo! Get your wires ready.
Yeah. All right. Before we wrap this up, got a question for you guys. It's kind of going on in a different... It's on one of the Reddit threads I'm on, and also a Discord. PS4. Where would you place it in your all-time list of consoles?
I would not.
That's where I stand.
Well, given that it's the third best console out of the three that I own currently.
Yeah, let me tell you how I feel about the PS4. It's not hooked up and it's not in my house, and I gave it to my friend.
So. Right, that is true, you did. Although you're getting a good baseball game in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
I don't know, I have that baseball game. I played it for like half an hour and haven't touched it since. Oh.
I played it more than that. I liked it, but it's like...
No, but seriously, what, like, I mean, and what would, like, the hallmark PS4 title be? God of War?
Bloodborne?
Spider-Man
and Horizon. Bloodborne.
Horizon, okay.
They're good games,
No, sure. They're good games, and I don't want to dismiss it. I think it has a good library. But I feel overall, like, it's probably Sony's weakest library. I feel like the PS3, PS2.
I think so. Like, it is, for me, it is the weakest of the PlayStation consoles.
For me, there's only one PlayStation console I really like, and that's PlayStation 2. I think that library, one, is it's massive. It's just so many quirky, cool things in it. Like, PlayStation 1, I don't really dig a lot of those games. PlayStation 3 is cool, and I think more interesting than 4, and 4 is just... I don't know, 4 is highs, though, like Spider-Man. And
they're Blood super Man. High.
Yeah, they're real, but, like, these more of the weird and stuff, like, I think.
Yeah, I think that's the thing. It's not that, like, the highs aren't high, and it's not even like it has a ton of growth. It's just that, like, everything else is kind of in that weird kind of, like, oh, it's good that I have the system and I can play this, but titles, it's not like the things that you go out of your way to track down. Like, I don't think of something like Uncharted 4 as being super memorable.
Shit, yeah, I completely forgot about Uncharted 4.
Right, it's like Spider-Man and Horizon Zero Dawn and God of War.
And Bloodborne. Yeah.
And most of those were within the last year and a half. Like, you think of stuff like The Order 1886, you think of stuff like Infamous Second Son, you think of, you know, Killzone. Like we mentioned, Killzone on PS4?
Killzone Shadowfall.
The launch game.
Yep, it's a launch title. It's bad. It's not good.
Yeah.
I completely forgot that was a thing. Mm. And then, like, you know, there are stuff that it has... But I feel like this was the generation of co-op. I mean, not co-op, of multi-platform titles. So a lot of this stuff was also on the Xbox One, which I will also say, not Microsoft's best system.
No. I like the Xbox One. I think that it is a really impressive system in the fact that now I can play a ton of Xbox games. And Game Pass is awesome, but I would not rank that in my top three either.
Yeah, I was going to try to say something about, like, I think that, like, I like the system, like, the environment of Xbox more than PlayStation, more than anything. Like, I don't think that their lineup this generation has been very good at all, but no. Like, but just like you said, like the features of it, like the Game Pass, like that's a huge thing. You could play some original Xbox games, unfortunately not a lot, but some, you know. I don't know, like they're just doing cool things on the system and like outside of the actual first party games, which they're coming. I mean, there's stuff, you know, like Halo's gonna be cool and shit like that, like.
But I feel like Halo is going to be in that Breath of the Wild, Twilight Princess zone where, like, are people going to consider it an Xbox title?
I'm going to think it's going to be whatever the next system is.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, but
like,
I'm
it's
just
coming out, but it's not going to be like, oh man, remember the Xbox One had that Halo 5? It's like, yeah, I guess. Yeah, I think it's something we've talked about before. Just because a lot of the major publishers have really pruned down the types of titles and the amount of titles they release, like this generation has felt much safer. Like there aren't those really kind of out there games that grab your attention.
Like, right. There's no the hell was that sweary game?
Crap, I was thinking of the Cheerleader one, but that's not it. Is it? It's they're talking about the Kinect one.
No, that was on Xbox One. No, for the 360, it also came out on the PS3. It was kind of like Resident Evil ish.
Oh, crap! I know which one you're talking about. Not Deadly Premonition.
Deadly Premonition.
Is that the one? I was thinking yes. The one with the dude who couldn't. Maybe that's from the grasshopper dude. But yes, Deadly Premonition.
Yeah, like just weird games. Like there were more weird games last gen.
But even that, I'm even thinking about like what would be the new IP of this generation? Like last generation, you had stuff like you know, Wii Sports, Gears of War, Uncharted,
Bioshock.
That were brand new, different IPs. And this one, I'm trying to, like, you had stuff like Fortnite and Overwatch.
I hate this gen.
I don't hate it. I think there's
a
lot of good games, but I think it's been more sparse, for sure.
I've been saying it for years, you know, like,
yes.
I find this gen to be very disappointing. I really liked, like, for me, the best gen was the PS2 era. Just like the variety of games you got, like I don't know.
There were so many more like mid tier games.
Yeah,
yeah, and that's kind of where the industry has suffered the most. Is you've kind of pushed everybody into either being AAA titles or like the indie digital titles, and it's that middle ground that no longer gets the love, and those would be the ones that would be the kind of experimental titles that you can then put money into for a sequel, but like you don't get it out of that stuff anymore. Like, you know, yeah. I shared my Alpha Protocol on here before, but stuff like that, stuff like the Bourne Conspiracy, stuff like that John Woo Stranglehold game, stuff like Condemned on the original Xbox.
Even stuff like James Bond games and just, I don't know, man. There's just, yeah. More shit back then. Like
stuff like Zombie U. Stuff like a lot of those games, which are kind of like this might be good, this might not be good, but you can roll the dice and check it out. Now it's like, oh, you kind of know what you're getting with every title because it's a franchise you're familiar with, yep. Or you don't. And it's like, you know, like I made fun of Death Stranding, but that does seem like something different, even if it's not for me. But that is so far and few between this generation,
yeah.
Yep.
I agree. You just don't get shit like Beyond Good and Evil, you know, just coming out of the blue. It's just, or Prince of Persia or whatever. Like, it's just, I don't know. I hate this gen. I quit. I'm no longer a gamer.
You don't have to be. It's fine.
Don't qualify yourself as a gamer.
Oh, yeah. Good point. I'm not a gamer. I just said it.
Good. Because otherwise, I might think you're a. Associating with like Nazis and shit. So anyway, we'll be back next week with stuff. Devil May Cry, Control, I don't know. We'll see.
Sims 4.
Maybe I'll finish the tutorial.
Age of Empires tutorials. More Sims 4 murders. Deaths. You can't murder anybody, right? Like, you can't.
I mean, kill them. I can as God.
Okay.
Like, you could do things.
Wow.
I
think you that's going far.
Are you the chosen one, Jeff? I'm just wondering.
Well, you know, like,
we already have a chosen one. Thank you very much.
I don't know if they still let you do it, but, like, you know, you used to be able to just, like, lock them in a room or something. Like, you know.
Yeah, I know you can do that. Like, you can take away the last pool or something. Like,
yeah.
Because they're too stupid to get
the pool. Send them into the bathroom and then delete the door.
Yeah.
All right. We'll be back with all that next week. Jeff, say goodnight.
Goodnight.